Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Ara.
My name's Alon. Here once again with everybody.
And this is the new late night version of our show.
Is this late night or just later night? Don't know. Andrew, what exactly is the reason why are we on an hour later? He shakes his head. Your producer, soundboard guy, sound guy.
Do we have any late night music?
AM radio. Your producer, soundboard guy, sound guy.
Do we have any late night music?
AM radio specialist. We don't, but I'm sure Andrew will find some mariachi music to play for us in just a second. So we did move times, 10 p.m. now. That's it.
What I think of late night, this is what I think of.
This sounds like the MIDI version of some music we could have on, so it's suitable.
I feel like I'm at El Pollo Loco.
El Pollo Loco, is that what you said?
El Pollo Loco.
There you go. Okay. It feels good, because then I feel like I'm really a Phoenician. Speaking of which, I don't know if they have serial rapists or whatever on TV right now. I don't know. For those who aren't aware, in Phoenix, we've had a bunch of serial killers around. And so now there's convicts on TV. So I guess... Yeah, they're probably talking about the convicts that were just caught. So I'm not scared to go outside my house today. At least I'm less scared. So moving on a little bit to some relevant topics. This is a video game radio show. We are here in the Phoenix area, Phoenix, Arizona. If you want to give us a call, it's 866-536-1100. Ara, you had told me that you want to talk a little bit about video game ratings today. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get to that later. And there's actually been a lot of news about that, or articles about it, I guess.
Has it really? Because I just, like, maybe it's just a psychic vibration I got or something, but I just thought of it, and I haven't been, you know, following any of that stuff.
I wonder if you're being sarcastic, you and your dry humor. Are you serious? Like, you haven't noticed all the stuff online this whole week?
No, I think it has been a psychic vibration.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know I live in a cave.
It's true. Ara spends all his time on AOL Instant Messenger.
And my computer runs on potatoes.
Exactly. And lemons. All right, so we're going to talk about video game ratings, and there's been a lot of stuff about that in articles lately about, you know, whether or not they're any good, people are getting paid off.
So you're talking about specifically, like, review ratings, not, like, ESRB content ratings.
Exactly. Was I confused? What are you talking about?
No, we're talking about the exact same thing, actually.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what's all over the news lately. So we're going to talk about that. I also have a couple things I want to cover. I also have to talk about this. I had my first fan visitor, right? You were over my place Saturday night.
I was very impressed. And
we had John Bono.
I was giddy with delight.
If you hear on the show John from Vegas...
You can tell how giddy I am right now, Duncan, can't you?
Oh, I can see it in your eyes. So John from Vegas came and visited me. He and the love of his life came and visited me for the weekend, which was really fun. Came and stayed over. Yesterday we went out to Golfland, danced my little heart out, Dance's Revolution and In the Groove and stuff. I am no good at that game anymore, by the way.
DDR?
I like to think I am.
Your legs have been atrophying from all of the non-dancing.
My endurance is gone. My ability to play long-term. At least my feet didn't break this morning. I could walk, so that was cool. But, man, I get tired after, like, one game. It's ridiculous. I keep telling myself I'm going to start playing some more so I can get back into the groove and, like...
You know what's funny about that game? I read somewhere that, like, as far as exercise goes, like, playing that game is almost as good exercise for you as tennis.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, if you're one of those cheesy people who gets on and plays in easy mode and just sort of, like, tries to figure out how to play as they step around the machine, like, that's lame. But if you're playing for real, definitely. The best workout I've ever had. I mean, in terms of aerobics.
Especially if you do things like, you know, like the spinning jump kicks that come, like, dangerously close to spectators' faces.
Yeah, I don't do that noise. But In the Groove does require some like, hand plants and stuff, where you got to use 2 feet and a hand and stuff like that.
Do you use that? Do you do the hand thing?
You know, I was playing one song, and there were 3 steps that had to be hit at once. I was like, that's weird.
Wow.
But I realized, oh, this must be one with a hand plant, right? So then I waited for the next one, and I tried it. I totally missed, because I didn't put enough force into it.
I can imagine. You've got to hit that thing with your hand pretty hard for it to register.
Oh, yeah, it's a pain. But anyway, I got to play the new Supernova machine because at Golfland they have, like, I guess it's the new beta. I wouldn't have known that it was beta, but that's what John tells me, and he knows everything about it. So
what's that all about?
It's the newest version. It's crazy. It's got every song on the planet in that thing. It's fun. Anyway.
So the timer for the menus is, like, 20 minutes long because that's how long it takes you to pick a song?
It is really long. You can sort them in various ways. But there are some people there who are really good. And this place is cool. This is, like, the greatest arcade ever because they've got all these sorts of new games. Like, they've got the Mario Kart arcade game.
You've got to take me there one day, then. I've never been.
I've told you we should go there. But yeah. So it's got, like, In the Groove 2. It's got Dance Revolution Extreme. And then it's got the Beta Supernova. It's got Mario Kart. It's got, like, Time Crisis 4. But on top of that, there's a water park there. So there's girls walking around in bikinis at the arcade. You don't get that at other arcades,
You ever
man.
Been at the water park?
I haven't really been to the water park part. No,
that,
I just
stay
in the arcade.
That sounds like
fun. We could do that too, but there's an arcade there. Why would I want to go to the water park? But it's neat, though. I mean, how often do you get to go to an arcade with people walking around with no clothes on? It was an interesting addition.
And arcade games dripping wet.
No. Actually, no. They dry off somehow. Oh. I liked it, though.
That's
cool. Normally you just don't find that. All right, so some other things we're going to talk about. I found an interesting article in Slashdot talking about basically going down memory lane and the concept of nostalgia and whether or not nostalgia is good for us. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, too. And
That's a good topic.
It is.
We're going to have a fantastic show tonight.
We are. Now, I was hoping for a Nathan Smart attack this week. I don't know if you all want to send him email or write in the forums, but that boy did not perform this week, so we don't have a smart attack on the way. But that's cool, because you get more Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon and Ara.
You should definitely send him hate mail, though.
You can.
And send me hate mail, too, please.
If you send that to Nathan Smart at ChatterboxGameShow.com, I can get that to him. Just like I get mail to you. Like we got mail to you last week.
Yeah. Did we get any this week?
This week, no mail for you. We got that 7-page mailer that we still haven't read.
Oh, that's right.
By the way, we're both too scared to touch on that. Anyway, so now before I came into the studio today, I played Dead Rising. A lot of you may be aware that's also been touched on in several places like Joystick, Kotaku, and various other areas. It's a new demo available on the Xbox 360 through Live Arcade. You can download the demo. It's supposed to come out tomorrow, which I guess means it actually comes out on Wednesday.
Now, what is the story with that game? I mean, how is that game different from, like, any other game with zombies and beating up zombies and killing zombies?
Now, I only played the demo, but it's kind of role-playing-ish, where you can upgrade your character over time through experience, right? But you also have all sorts of different weapons, and you have slots for the weapons. So, like, you can hold a sledgehammer, a sickle, a nightstick, and a knife.
A giant crayon?
Yeah, well, sort of. You could get... You're in a mall, right? And they make a big point of saying that the game is in no way related to John Romero's Dawn of the Dead. Have you ever seen that movie?
I'm very embarrassed to say that I haven't seen it.
I saw it quite recently, actually, totally by chance. And it takes place almost exclusively in a mall. And so they have to mention that it's not part of it. You know, it has nothing to do with it. Don't think that we took all the material from that movie.
Just like Metal Gear Solid, or Metal Gear in general, has absolutely nothing to do with Escape from L.A.?
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
With, I hope that's actually the name of the movie.
Well, there's Escape from New York and Escape from L.A.
Escape from New York.
But what does it have to do with Metal Gear Solid?
Well, because, you know, Kurt Russell plays a character interestingly named Snake Plissken.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're talking about storyline here, buddy. All right, so anyway, moving forward here, Dead Rising. Really fun game. Like, you're in the mall, you can pick up an entire wooden bench and just lunge at people. There's zombies everywhere that are all ready to attack you. You take pictures, too, right? So it's one of these games where you can take pictures and get points for taking pictures of stuff.
Do the zombies, like, are they afraid of, like, flash from the camera?
No, because there's no real flash that I've noticed.
Oh.
But anyway,
Like you suck their soul out?
Would you let me finish talking about this? I'm saying it's RPG-ish, right? And so you get these... what are called PP. I'm sure it stands for something, but I haven't read through it enough to know. I thought it was picture points, but it's not. It's something else. But it's basically points you earn throughout the game. And I think it's how it actually progresses your experience levels. And so you get that through taking pictures of things as well as doing other stuff, right? But you can take a picture of a group of zombies and they all, you know, it tells you each zombie gives you a certain number of points. And you can pick up books from the magazine store or the bookstore. And these books give you special powers, like increase in certain skills. So, like, one of them gives you an indicator that this zombie right now gives you, like, a blue indicator, so which is pretty standard, right? And then it shows you one zombie has pink on her. That's, like, erotic point levels because it's some zombie in, like, skimpy clothing or something. And then there's one where my friend John, he had killed this zombie, the one that produces the erotic points because she's basically a whore.
All right.
Lays down on the ground, and there's two pink spots on her. There's the pink on her, and then the pink at her crotch. If you take a picture of her, so you get up the skirt, you get huge bonus points for the up the skirt shot.
You get to see what's on the picture?
You can look in your pictures afterwards, yeah. And then what you can do is you can blow someone's head off with the shotgun, immediately switch to the gun, or the camera, and take a picture while the blood's exploding with bits of brain and stuff. You get huge points because of the blood blowing up. It's fantastic. The game is just really good. If anybody has any questions, give me a call. I'll tell you about the demo. 866-536-1100. We'll be right back with some actual content.
Hey, Alon.
Yeah?
There's something really weird I noticed when I walked in here today.
What was that?
There's like a couple of drops of blood on my sock.
On your sock?
Yeah.
Wow. So you should be aware of zombies coming after you.
How the hell did that happen?
I certainly didn't do it. Do you have a funny line coming up after this? No?
No, that's all I got.
All right, no punchline. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. I want to remind you, go to uat.edu to learn about the University of Advancing Technology. I actually went there this weekend. I brought John Bono there. I figured we'd talk about it on the show all the time. I should bring him by to see the place.
Yeah.
And they got their little food court area. It's called Cuban Pete's, right? And they've got an area right by there where you could traditionally play a bunch of PC games because you've got like four computers networked together on the internet and whatever, so people can go there and play games between classes and all that. And then there were some tables to sit around and eat. And back when I started going there, they had one like big screen TV right by the entrance to the building, or the front entrance. And so I would always bring in my Xbox and play games, whatever, right there.
Right.
And they realized people wanted to play in Cuban Pete's, too, with video games, but all they had was the PCs. And apparently they just came to their senses. They installed like three or four plasma TVs right on the wall, got rid of some of the tables, put in couches, and they have like a 360 and a GameCube and all that stuff hooked right up to it. And, you know, a bunch of wireless controllers and guitars and whatever. Right there in Cuban Pete's.
Do they charge by the hour?
No, it's no charge. You just sit there and play because you're a student.
Well, that's pretty
And you
darn
can go
cool.
to the library and take out games and then bring them back in, you know, an hour or whenever you want to bring them back.
When I was a kid, I used to work at this place where, like, they did what you said, but then they charged by the hour. I don't know if that was legal or not.
Yeah, but they didn't have a lot of games, and and they weren't cool, and they weren't Xbox 360s. Like, I'm just so, like, as soon as I leave, all this cool stuff happens. It's like, I could have been sitting there playing video games all the time. Why'd I have to go to school? Anyway, I was just impressed by it. So, if anyone feels like checking it out, feel free. It's in Tempe, Arizona, on Baseline. And now that the Baseline killer is gone, you can enjoy yourself and not be feared or fearful. All right, so we were talking about, we mentioned that we wanted to talk about ratings, and you have like a whole script in front of you, that notes that you want to discuss.
Yeah, I have almost 3,000 words.
Wow.
No, actually, that's
a manifesto, even. All right, so I want you to tell me what's on your mind here. Let's talk about game ratings. If anybody wants to call and talk about it as well, you should do that. 866-536-1100. Someone had called to talk about Dead Rising, by the way, but apparently we weren't cool enough and they hung up on us. So.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, if they want to call back, we're here all night.
We seem to have, like, you know, really impatient callers or something.
They don't realize that we can call the radio. They're going to be on hold for a while.
Yeah.
All right, 866-536-1100. Call back, everybody, and tell me what's on your mind here about the video game ratings, because I got all sorts of stuff I want to talk about.
All right, well, I'm going to say it in the most simple way possible. Video game review scores, if you're really intellectually honest with yourself, you'll realize that they're essentially meaningless.
Meaningless or useless?
They are. I would go so far as to say they're meaningless and useless.
All right, you definitely need an explanation then, because I think a lot of people will disagree with you.
I'm sure they will. I hope maybe they'll call. But no, I mean, I'm not just saying this just to be controversial. I mean, basically, all right. You know, what does the video game review score represent? I mean, it's usually like a number from 1 to 10 or whatever granularity you have. And, you know, 0 is bad and 10 is good, although, you know, nobody gets 0s or 1s or
4s. I've seen it happen.
Fours every once in a while, but that's the other part of this discussion, which is interesting.
But there's a crap to great scale,
right?
No matter how you slice it.
Right. So, you know, what I think is that, you know, really the video games are so complex as a medium that, you know, in almost every single video game that comes out, you know, there are rewarding qualities and there's negative qualities. And you can talk about these qualities, and some are good and some are bad. But the thing is, they're kind of like all jumbled up into, you know, this video game, right? So, you know, you can say that, like, okay, well, you know, something that I like in a game, for example, can be very different from what you like in a game, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about the same game, you know, you may like it. The very qualities that you appreciate the most, I might hate, right?
I agree with you.
So basically, you know, this kind of like summary number that a reviewer comes up with in order to kind of explain like what the game is like overall in terms of quality, I just think that, like, I mean, there's lots of reasons why we use it, you know, and it's understandable why we use it, and I can get into that later. But basically, it's like it's such a compression of what it means that it's like, I don't know, I just think that it just loses all meaning. Like, what's 7? You know, what is a 7?
Well, I think I understand what you're saying. It's kind of like taking a bunch of people who work at Home and Garden magazine, and then taking a bunch of people who work at High Times magazine, and then having them work on the same project and give their opinions.
Let me explain it to you in a really highbrow way, okay? So, like, let's say...
I would have never thought you'd give it to me that way, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure this is astonishing for you. All right, like, think of a chair, okay? Now, when you think of a chair, a certain image comes into your mind, okay? Like, this is what we call sometimes, like, the Platonic ideal of what a chair is, right? So your ideal of what a chair is may be similar to what picture in my head when I think of a chair, but it may be very different too. And the idea of giving a score for a game kind of assumes that these differences don't exist.
Well, yes, but there are solutions to that, and there are other things to consider. For instance, a lot of game magazines have a varied staff, right? And they will, and I don't think this is universal or that there's any rules. I don't know of any magazines that do this as a rule, but in general, like, I've heard stories of, you know, the new music rhythm game going to the guy who likes playing music rhythm games.
Right.
Or the new RPG
Actually,
going to the RPG fanatic.
That's really interesting, too, because, like, I know for a fact that this does happen. Not that it's necessarily bad, but there are some good and bad things about that. You know, one of the good things is that the person who's assigned to do such a review is probably the most prepared and enabled to do a good review because they have a history of those types of games. On the other hand, in general, I think that there is a phenomenon where people who review games, they tend to get assigned games that they're most likely to enjoy.
Yeah, but, well, it's because of what they like. And so then there's two sides to this. Either I think in that situation where if I'm, you know, and I use the example of Music Rhythm because that's the kind of game I'm most into lately.
Right.
Right. If I'm assigned that game, I have this knowledge and taste for that type of game. Right. So I'm less likely to provide any sort of average scoring for this. I'm much more likely to say this game sucks because I compare it to a good one that I've played. Or I say it's really good because I like it a lot or because it outperforms some game that's, you know, fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm much more likely to hit the extremes, I think, rather than go in the middle. Although that's sort of natural for anyone to say, especially the very emotional video game people.
Certainly.
But one thing that was good, like in EGM, and I haven't read that magazine for a long time, but I'm sure they still do it, where they'll have several pages, which are just short reviews, where they have three or four reviewers give a review on the same game, and you can see how it varies.
Right. Which, and, incidentally, here's a little factoid. I think that was lifted from the format that a Japanese magazine called Famitsu first
started. Famitsu is a very popular magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be nice to have it known, like in the front of the magazine when they talk about who does what, right, and they talk about their favorite games and whatever, like it would be really good to classify the person as the RPG guy.
Oh my God, you know what? I have to rant about something when we come back.
All right, we got more time to talk about this. Certainly, it's the time for everybody to call in as well. Third segment's when everyone can call in and tell us about the reviews they've read that they think are totally bogus.
Tell me how much you hate my guts.
Yeah, or the magazines they appreciate. 866-536-1100. Also, definitely call in to tell us how much you hate Aura. We'll be right back.
Me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
Everybody has to have fun sometimes, and Andrew doesn't have a lot of fun back there in the...
We're rocking tonight!
Andrew doesn't have a lot of time in the sound studio, so he needs something to do. Play our music for half an hour.
It's good music!
It is! This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, and that was some video game music, care of the mini-bosses. I think you can go to minibosses.com, find out what they do. I don't think that that's somebody else's website. Anyway, we were talking about game ratings, and I was suggesting that... games are spread to the extremes when you get somebody who knows a lot about that genre of game. But I would still like to see that. I'd like to see magazines that have video game aficionados of a certain genre, right, rating that certain game. And then I'd also like to have a sub-review from someone who never plays that game in the same review, you know, in the little corner box saying, I've barely ever played this, but this sort of thing's cool, or not cool for whatever reason, for someone of my style.
I think that's a good idea to get that.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that in a magazine before, too, yeah. Like the secondary review in a larger review.
But, you know, sometimes you see that, like, the primary review and then the secondary review, and then the secondary review is like, I'm going to say the exact same thing this other guy said, and, my rating's the same as the other guy's rating, too.
Well, you know, you can't account for the magazines hiring stupid people, right? You got to hope that they hire someone who's not dumb.
Indeed.
That's the bottom line.
But I've got a rant that I have to make before I forget about it.
Okay, me too. I got a couple. We got so much time. Go ahead.
All right. So this thing we were talking about you know, the multi-mini capsule review type format, right?
Yeah.
That's an awesome way to review something, even if it's so brief, because you get to see a lot of different viewpoints. But I think the only way that that really, really works is basically you read the authors, the reviewers, over a period of time, and you basically come to learn what their biases are, essentially, and then you can kind of account for that, you know, so you know that this guy likes this type of game, you know, these are his proclivities, this is what he doesn't like, so now when you read what he says, you know, you can understand it in what I think is, you know, a lot better light. The thing that kind of sucks with what EGM has been doing in general is that they have tons of reviewers. So you don't get the same number and the exact same reviewers for each game they review. You just get like a total grab bag. And I think that that effect that was very, very useful is completely lost.
But you know what? I don't feel like playing an RPG just by reading a review. I don't want to have to read up on the history of these guys. It would be neat if before the reviews it showed each person and their tastes, like kind of like experience points like a video game.
Right. Well, the thing is, I mean, like, yeah, you know what? That takes a lot of effort. But the thing is, like, I don't think you're really going to be able to appreciate and understand what a reviewer's biases are unless you kind of are used to their history. And you're right. That's a good point. I mean, you do have to kind of read what these people say over time to understand what these things are.
Well, plus I have to care a whole lot to like read this magazine every month, read every review so I can get a feeling. And I understand what you're saying. Like a lot of people read this, you know, they get a subscription to a magazine, they read it over and over. And I used to be that way, right? When I was a kid and I read, you know, the magazines cover to cover and stuff. I don't do that much anymore. But I don't think anybody does now with the advent of the internet. But anyway, I need to get on a sidetrack for a second here. I saw in our chat room online, which, by the way, if you go to chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com, then you can join in the live chat. And people pointed out, based on the first segment we were talking about Dead Rising, prestige points was PP. That's what it stands for. Now, we also have someone who wanted to talk about Dead Rising. I think it was Dead Rising anyway. We've got Barbara on the phone, right? Barbara, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm just wondering how similar it is to House of the Dead 3, because, I mean, there's just nothing like having a shotgun in your hand shooting zombies.
You're talking about the Dead Rising game, of course. Not at all.
Do you have direct experience of this, Barbara?
No, I haven't played it yet. Of House of the Dead 3 or the Dead Rising?
No, of Dead Rising.
Of shooting zombies with a shotgun.
Okay.
No.
How about
the game works and do it, but I mean.
How about just a shotgun?
I definitely prefer the House of the Dead 3 with a shotgun versus the House of the Dead 2 with just the plain, handgun.
All right. The only commonality between these two games is the fact that there's zombies in them. But no, it's Dead Rising is very different. It's kind of more like a Streets of Rage game where you're running around and you're just beating the crap out of people. But where you take a sledgehammer and you. Okay, there's a part where you take a sickle, right? And if you just press X and you attack, right? You attack right at the neck, and then you decapitate the dude every time.
But they don't give you a shotgun.
Well, no, you get a shotgun, right? Well, in the demo, you get it right at the beginning, but the demo doesn't start at the beginning of the game. But, no, it's you don't actually hold a gun in your hand. You're not pointing at the screen.
Why is it always the shotgun, anyway? I mean, like...
Spread shot, man. Spread shot. Although it's really hard to shoot people, zombies in this game. You got to be dead on. It's tough.
Yeah.
So you have a taste for zombie blood? You like to shoot zombies a lot?
Yeah, there's just something really satisfying about it. After a long day at work, just going to GameWorks and just, that satisfying click of the shotgun right before shooting zombies,
Why do you have more of a taste for shooting already dead characters than...
I don't know, maybe it's because I feel guilty about killing, already alive people.
What about, have you ever thought about zombie rights?
Zombie rights? Well, I'm sure there's got to be some lobbyists somewhere, up in Washington.
There's plenty of zombie games. I'm just waiting for...
I think we need to stop for a second. I appreciate the call, Barbara. I want to get into this a little bit with Ara now. Thank you very much. Someone actually feels guilty about playing a game, right? A video game, right? And shooting, shooting human characters versus non-human character. And we'll say for the moment that a zombie is non-human.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that, some people don't like conceptually the idea of, shooting masses of innocent people, at least the representation of it. Although, I mean, once you get past that and understand that, it's not really a true representation. It's just it's really abstract if you think about it. You're not really shooting zombies, but, on the surface of it, especially, people who don't play video games, they just see such and such game, Carmageddon is about running people over. Well, yeah, on the surface of it, yeah, it's about running people over. That's kind of like the theme of it. That's kind of like the, what's on the surface. But if you really think about it, the mechanics that happen, it's very abstract. And games essentially, mechanics are essentially abstract,
We're talking about Carmageddon now. This is a game where you can, drive up onto the roofs of buildings, right?
We're going all over the place.
Okay.
Tonight. We're just yeah.
Okay, so, but that's interesting to me, that some people would feel guilty over shooting a human character in a video game. When you're right, after all, it is just graphics. And in Dead Rising, it's a great example because, you're not usually, you don't have the guys right up against against the screen, right? Normally, it just looks like human characters where you're slashing off their legs and their arms. Oh, there was a part where he grabbed... One zombie was attacking you with the arm of another person, or dead zombie or whatever, so you could take that, and then you attack the zombie with it, and the hand, the forearm that you're holding to beat this guy with, gets stuck in the zombie's mouth, and he's walking around with a hand sticking out of his mouth.
That's fantastic.
It's comic relief. And he gets a little green symbol above him, and that's considered a comic relief photo if you take it. I can't get over this because I just played it. It's so good. I think it, like I said, comes out this week. You should definitely give it a shot. All right. Should we get back to this stuff or keep going talking about zombies?
I don't know. I think we have a bunch of other junk to talk about. So,
I would like to see reviews that actually sum up things. And this is where I wanted to lead with it, right? We're talking about getting the review with several people, right? From one outfit, one gaming magazine. But that's what... where other places have sort of taken the helm, where you've seen things like Metacritic or MetaReviews, where there are these sites that do that for us. They take this magazine and that magazine and this website and whatever, all the big ones that they decide are important enough to be on their review site, and they produce a cumulative score from all the different review places. And I've actually spoken to a marketing friend of mine who works in a major video game company.
Okay.
And he specifically said to me, he's like, you know, Alon, the way to get noticed by all the large video game companies and get them to start sending you crap, because I always want to get some more free games to play, you know, get yourself on Metacritic. And there's like one other site, I can't remember, right? Because they care about that. And you know how there was stuff years ago about...
Yeah, well, they care about game scores. If you're giving them good game scores, I mean...
So they want you reviewed on Metacritic. But the thing is, scores by themselves mean nothing, right? But if you're noticed by Metacritic, it's important, because then there are the stores like Walmart and these other places where like you actually get... Is it the publishers? No, I think the developers of a game will get paid more from the publisher or something like that. We talked about this last year, and I can't even remember the details of it. But, like, there was this big thing about how somebody was going to get paid more when your game didn't suck. I think it was licenses. If you made a licensed game, right, and the game blew hardcore, then the company that was basically letting you have the license was going to pay you more for the game, give you more of the profit if you made a game that did well enough, because all these places were making crappy licensed games that ended up not selling well enough or as well as they could have, because all they did was put the license in a crappy game. And so they said, all right, we're going to take the Metacritic scores, and if you don't get above a 70 or whatever the score they deemed was good enough, then, you know, you're getting bottom of the barrel profits off of this, or profit distribution, or whatever the hell it was, right?
That's pretty interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. You didn't hear about this?
No.
This was all over the place.
I'm telling you, I live in a cave.
Okay. So, they were basically... the bottom line was, they were getting more money because they made a better game, which sounds intuitive. You'd think that would happen anyway, because they would sell more copies, right? But it gave these companies even more incentive to just not make a piece of crap. And so Metacritic became a really important place to go. And so now game companies really respect that place, whereas the individual places, they don't care so much. It's important. But if you're on Metacritic as one of those individual places, you're suddenly much more important, because they actually pay attention to that. So they want the people on Metacritic to give you good scores, so they get good relationships with those people and hope that, you know, they then do well with that particular company. Because who cares if you're not a Metacritic? I don't care what you rate my game as. You've only got a few... listeners.
You know what's really interesting? I have the impression that, I mean, it's actually more than an impression. People who are in the industry have told me this. I mean, it's funny because, like, marketing and PR, like, they kind of, there's like two ways you can look at game reviews, and depending on what side of the business you're on, you have one of these two viewpoints, or at least you kind of present that, right? So, like, you know, video game reviewers will, you know, swear up and down that, like, you know, they are, you know, they're honest, and they're just going to tell you how it is, you know, and all that good stuff. And the funny thing is, like, you know, people who work in marketing and PR and everything like that, like, they're really in it to influence the video game ratings. That's kind of like, I mean, that's all they care about. They just want to get good scores.
The fact is that a lot of people react subconsciously to all sorts of influence. And so we might say we're being really honest, and we might actually be really honest as a reviewer, when the truth is we don't give the same review that we might have given if we didn't, you know, get our butts kissed by certain PR people.
It's a very sketchy thing.
It's natural reaction. Yeah, it is definitely... persuaded. Anyway, we'll be back to talk about some other things after the break, everybody. Give us a call at 866-536-1100. All right, turn it down. Turn it down, funny man. Chatterbox video game. Was that? All right. This is the worst intros we've ever had. Chatterbox video game radio.
I like that song.
I know. What I don't like is our voices.
Our voices are awesome as well.
Thank you. All right, so this is Chatterbox video game radio. Once again, want to remind you to go to UAT. I should tell the story that when, like, John was coming over from Vegas, right? And he warned me that, listen, we're going to play some Super Smash Brothers Melee, and I'm going to kick everybody's butt. You know anybody who likes to play that game? So when we were at UAT, I saw a couple of friends of mine who play that game like mad.
I
was like, oh, my friend John here, he says he can beat everybody at that at that game. And they're like, what? Let's go play. So then they went and played on the plasmas. Totally cleaned his clock. John lost, like mad.
Both did?
Of them. He's like, oh, down. Oh, wow. Down for the count. I was like, told you, Johnny. No, these are the big boys. They go to school for this crap. Anyway.
Okay, that reminds me of a funny story when I was in college. One time, you know, when Street Fighter was really big. So there's this one goofball who, like, played it against me. And he proceeded to, like, beat me with every single character you could pick in the game.
Oh, I've done that to friends.
He didn't even, like, you know, say it or do anything. He would just, like, I just figure out after a while that, like, around, like, the sixth or seventh win that he was methodically selecting different character each time to beat me with.
Well, I was playing Street Fighter on the Super Nintendo with a friend of mine. And I was like, all right, Jim, I'm just going to, play with Chun-Li and only use Light Slash. And I beat him. It's like, all right, I took you down. And I think it was more a factor of him having less experience than mine having too much.
Did he feel crushed?
I don't know. He's probably in the chat right now if you want to go in there and ask him. Anyway, we've got a caller here who wants to talk about the broken rating system, so I figure we should go to that before we move on. So we've got, is this Sergey on the phone, Andrew? All right, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm Sergey. I'm digital from the chat room.
Right on.
Hey,
all
right. What's up,
I should
Sergey?
Go in the chat room and pay attention then. So what did you want to talk about here?
I want to talk about the broken rating system, like you said.
All right, see, I actually knew that. I was just letting you lead into it.
Yeah, okay.
Is that a loaded statement?
That's radio spin.
That's very clever.
Okay, so give me your opinion on this.
Well, what I've found is that most sites nowadays use a 1 to 10 rating scale.
Yeah.
Well, would they only use the 5 to 10 numbers?
No, that's true. And that's because these people grew up in America. And in the American school system, average...
That is true.
Average is your 70 to 80. It's like your C rating. Whereas in other countries and in some universities, they rate on more of a real bell curve from the 0 to 100. And I actually had a professor an American university who used that real scale, and everyone got paranoid that they were all failing because they were getting 50s and 60s. And
yeah.
He's like, no, this is why you're doing badly. Because you're an idiot, and you can't realize that a 50 is average after I tell you that a 50 is average. They're all scared it was throwing off their curve or something.
Man, when I went to school, yeah, like 60, that was like a B+.
Yeah, why? Were you going to school in another country?
Hardcore computer science.
Okay.
Yeah.
So real numbers people. So does that bother you, though, Sergey? Is that a problem, or are you upset that you wish there were 50s being thrown out there?
Well, you got to say you've seen one out of 10s out there.
Yeah, but I mean, every time you see something that's a 5 or lower, you know that they just didn't like the game. And it's totally arbitrary. If it's a 1, if it's a 5,
yeah,
they're just trying to make a point.
It's really like the same number. Like, what's the difference between a 1 and a 5? Like, nothing. They just want to rub it in more.
Yeah, it's a don't buy it when you say it's a 5 or anything less. And even a 6 is a 6 is more of like the pity score. You say, oh, you know what, these people, you can tell that they tried. Or, like, I have a friend on that production crew, so maybe I won't give it the 3 or the 4. But nobody's going to buy it. Nobody's going to buy the 6 if they're looking at those reviews, unless, like, they think, well, maybe this reviewer didn't like that type of game, and I do like that type of game, so I'll like it more. But
yeah.
It doesn't really bother me that they use 7 to 10 just because I recognize it. But if one reviewer in a magazine stuck to that system while another reviewer... you know, went all across the board, that would be weird because you're getting conflicting response from the same media outlet.
But it really limits the score limit. Like, if you can only give games 5 numbers out of 10, it kind of limits your choices there.
Well, no. Let me ask you this, actually, Sergey. So let's say we're only using, like, a 5-point scale. I mean, do you think that it's really even useful to have, like, more granularity than that?
I do think the 5-point scale is better because you have that much more contrast.
Yeah, I actually agree here because GamePro uses a 5-point, but then it uses a half scale, so it's really a 10-point scale.
Right.
It really is because they do the 0.5s, but at the same time, you're really paying attention to the main numbers, and it just gives people this impression that you actually can get a 2 or a 1, like, and it means something much more specific than the 20 or the 40 on a 0 to 100 scale would mean.
You know what I think they should do? They should just have 2 or 9. That's it.
Well, really, I tend to give my reviews as good or bad, with sometimes the caveat, if you like that type of game, good.
Yeah, so like, you know, What did you think of this game? It was a 2. What did you think of that other game? Did you like it? Yeah, it was a 9. See, that's so much simpler.
Well, I think at this point you're really just going binary, good or bad, if you do that. But yeah. All right, Sergey, thanks. We're going to move on. I got only a couple minutes to throw with this other stuff I wanted to talk about. We've only covered one topic today. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right, so we got 2 minutes left here. I wanted to talk about nostalgia here.
Do we have a lightning round? Maybe we can do like a lightning round.
No, although we could do that sometimes where I get point counterpoint. Right?
Oh, that'll be awesome.
If only we prepared for the show.
Yes! It's the lightning round.
Ironically, that was thunder. thank you, Andrew.
It's the auditory representation of lightning round.
Listen now. There was an article pointed to through the games portion of Slashdot, and it was basically discussing nostalgia and how really it creates problems, right? And it gave a good example where Konami's Castlevania was at one point a great game. And I remember playing this with a friend of mine, and I've told this story before, where I would play it, like every time I'd stay over his house some Friday night. We would play Castlevania, we'd go through the entire game and always die at the Grim Reaper, the second to last boss.
Tough boss to beat.
Now they say, you know, if you play the game now, it's got some really creative areas, weapons and enemies and all that, but the game is really dry, and we expect more out of it. So we have this theme in our head that, wow, that game was awesome, I totally want to play it. And then we play it, and it sucks.
That sounds like, I think, a good topic for another show, too.
Yeah, I think we should save it. We'll save it for next week, because there is more to discuss, but think about that. Put it in your brain, come back next Monday.
Oh, it's in my brain.
Or just listen to our show on podcast. But come back, maybe if you listen live, you can call in and tell us your thoughts on it. But I certainly have a lot to discuss.
Me too.
I still love a lot of old Mario games, though. Mario 64 till I die.
We'll fight about it.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be back next week talking about that as well as other topics. And in just a few weeks, I'm going to be down at the Penny Arcade Expo. And we're going to be doing the second annual Chatterbox Treasure Box video game radio show. We'll be back, everybody.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.